necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
I was drawn to a place in the sun. Aloha, I'm your host, Ori Kopelman of the Mauritopia Show, and I'll read the definition of Mauritopia. Mauritopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future, a first of its kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter, while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauritopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no kaoi. In Mauritopia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model of the society of the future. Let me tell you a little bit about my biography. I've spent 25 years helping companies develop technology rapidly. I've lived in Maui for 20 years, and before that founded a management consulting firm in 1992 in Northern California. Our company, Global Brain, taught clients worldwide the QRPD, which stands for Quality Rapid Product Development Methodology. This resulted in companies thriving through developing products in half the time, at half the cost, with substantially less pain, less corporate dysfunction, and more profit. A former Silicon Valley executive, I was vice president of engineering at a company called Mountain Computer, which grew tenfold in 6 years to 500 employees. I taught at Stanford University's Continuing Studies Program and at Berkeley Extension for about 15 years. I hold a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical and Computer Engineering with distinction from Stanford University. Having grown up in Ann Arbor, Michigan and Israel, I speak English, Hebrew, German, and French. I was a high school state tennis doubles champion, and I spent a decade with the Rotary Club of Maui and chaired the polling station Kula for several elections. I've engaged in personal growth since 1990, including meditation, and I believe in transformation through heightened awareness. I attend Grace and Unity churches on Maui and live with my wife Sally and cats Eva and Calvin in Kahului. And my co-host, Cindy Paulus, just walked in.
Aloha. Just came from Rotary at Kahului. It was really nice. I had a chance to speak there today.
Fantastic.
Yes, I like Rotary.
I did, too. As I mentioned, I was with them for over a decade.
They did good service.
Yes. And today, we've had 20 Mauitopia radio shows in the last half year. And this is the last show for a while. I'm going to take a break. And the name of the program is called Dreaming Big.
Mm. You've got to have a dream if you don't have a dream.
Cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. When you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big. And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry all your cares away. when you see the beauty all around and in yourself, and it will help you feel okay. And when you pray and pray for strength, it's to help you carry on. And when the troubles come your way, and when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. 'Cause when you dream, it might come true. But when you dream, dream big. To laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry all your cares away. And when you see the beauty all around and in yourself, and it will help you feel okay. And when you pray for strength, it to help you carry on. And when the troubles come your way, when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. 'Cause when you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.
Awesome. That was Ryan Shoup with the song Dream Big. I'm your host, Ori Kopelman, and I'm going to list 8 big dreams that have been accomplished. There's certainly many more, but these to me are noteworthy. The first one is the founding of the United States, which happened in 1776. Second one is conquering the Wild West in the United States in the 1800s. Third one is women's suffrage, a right to vote, which happened in 1920 in the United States. Most European, Asian, and African nations followed soon thereafter. Late adopters were France and Italy, who only gave women the right to vote in the 1940s, Switzerland in 1971, and the tiny country in Europe of Liechtenstein in 1984. The United Nations encouraged women's right to vote with the Convention of the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women in 1971. Fourth big dream that's been accomplished is manned flight by the Wright brothers, who flew in 1903. Their flight has led to today's jet planes, and there's approximately 10,000 flights per day in the world. Fifth big dream is the founding of the State of Israel in 1949, after Jews didn't have their own country since biblical times 2,000 years earlier. Sixth big dream is black civil rights in the 1950s and 1960s, which resulted in freedom from discrimination, equal access to public facilities, employment, education, and housing, and the right to vote for African Americans. Seventh big dream is putting a man on the moon in 1969. This was despite President Kennedy's chief science advisor, who told him in 1960 that, with all due respect, President Kennedy, we don't have the fuels, metals, or electronics to do something like that, let alone in a decade. Well, within that decade, which was on July 20th, 1969, Apollo 11 let land Neil Armstrong on the moon, and he declared that he took one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And the eighth big dream that's been accomplished is that astronauts living on the International Space Station year-round now, a habitable artificial satellite in low Earth orbit since the year 2000. So those are 8 big dreams that humanity has already accomplished. Now, as far as future big dreams that are yet to be achieved, but I'm confident will be, landing a person on an asteroid, which will probably happen relatively soon, or maybe on Mars, although that's a much longer trip, And hopefully, I'm hoping that we will create Mauitopia, or a utopian community with a population of over 100,000. Again, this has happened on a smaller scale with a few thousand people, but never in an existing society like Maui with over 100,000 people. And the third big dream that we may be able to accomplish someday, I hope, is finding cures for AIDS, cancer, hopefully multiple sclerosis, etc. So those are the big dreams. Now, I'd like to open up the phone lines at 242-7800 for people to call in and share their point of view on big dreams or trying to create Mauitopia. At the end of the show, I'll pick one caller to buy lunch for at a restaurant of their choice on Maui. I actually just spoke this morning with Claudia, who had won a couple weeks ago, and she and my wife and I are going to go to lunch together next week.
Oh, great. And you already went with the other person who won.
I did, with Tom.
Yes,
yeah. We had a wonderful
lunch. Which is nice. I mean, we like giving things away on the station, of course, but we often don't get a chance to give someone a lunch of their choice. You know, usually it's a lunch at an existing restaurant, so that's very generous of you.
Well, thank you.
It's very generous to offer that service to you. And it is, you know, big dreams are really important. When you said the topic of big dreams, I wasn't thinking as big as your dreams. These dreams that we're creating this are really big dreams. And so it just, when you were explaining the dreams that really created that, boy, these were bigger. I think maybe I need to dream bigger. Is someone on the line, Gary?
She didn't want us to go on the air.
Oh, okay.
She said we left out one big dream, the Americans with Disability Act.
Oh, that's a good point. Americans with Disability Act is a big dream.
Sure, ADA.
Yeah, no, that is huge. And it's still, I remember when they started putting in the weights. In fact, we just got a little walkway out
the
front
ramps.
Here. Yeah, but I mean, you use a walker. And if
right.
you don't have that walker for you, it's really life-threatening if you have to go off a curb and there is nothing there
There
to
are
use,
lots of
right?
places where there aren't ramps.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
And I have to walk a little further to get to the ramp, and I think, well, I might rather go down the curb or and take a risk.
And it can take for you 5 minutes to get there, you know, and so that's...
And it's hot.
We don't realize that. I mean, you know, we take for granted our health and that we can walk. And
absolutely.
We don't realize for people in wheelchairs and people with walkers, and we don't realize that that's such an important thing to their lives. So I'm glad whoever it was that called, thank you so much for sharing that contribution. In fact, I wish you'd given your name because... We could then put you in the hat, you know, for the drawing of that lunch.
The free lunch, that's
true. The free
true.
Lunch with Ori. So if there's other people that also can think of big dreams that they might have or that they think maybe the country should have. I know many people right now are talking about the GMO march that's happening on Sunday. So I think that's an example of a dream that people have, is to be able to eat healthy. And
well,
to
that's
try
a good
to
point. So a GMO-free Maui might be somebody's big dream.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another, personally, I'm going to lose possible voters when I say this, but in a way, I don't care. A smoke-free, and I'm talking about nicotine, a smoke-free Maui.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be awesome.
Well, you could never do that with the visitors coming.
Well,
you know, if you were in a community that was a commune or some smaller community, you could do that. But when you have people coming in that are from other countries at all, I mean, in European countries, I couldn't even believe when France, I mean, you've been to France.
Oh, they smoke.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Japan's worse.
Oh, Japan's worse. I've flown on a Japanese airline, and they were smoking in front of me the whole time. At that time, I could barely, I mean, I was sick by the time I landed.
Cindy, the funniest thing was an airline in Europe had smoking on the right side of the plane, no smoking.
Oh, that
the
makes
left
sense.
Side.
Oh, that, not seriously.
Honest to God, it's Lufthansa.
That was Lufthansa.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to take
a
call.
I love that. Half and half.
Hello.
Good morning. This is Franklin.
Hi, Franklin.
I love a lot of your ideas, but my kind of Bible was Looking Backward by Edward Bellamy, who looked 100 years into the future.
Wow.
And in his day, a lot of the socialistic things that he had in that book came through.
Are you familiar with it? I don't know it. I'm going to have to get it. Edward Bellamy.
Bellamy, yeah. 600,000 books were sold in the days when the book was published over 100 years ago.
And he was, it was a socialist society?
It was a utopia world.
A utopian world.
So many of the things that he predicted came true.
And that's B-E-L-L...
No, A-M-Y.
A-M-Y.
It's in every library in the world.
What's the name of the book?
Amazon. Edward Bellamy, Looking Backward.
Looking Backward. Mm. Well, that sounds very, very interesting. How did you find that book?
It was my dad's belief. He was born in 1901, and he gave me that book when I was 12.
Wow. Wow.
And looking into the future, nobody can really look into the future, but
right.
they can predict what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Bellamy was an amazing man.
So a lot of the things, this is over 100 years ago. And,
And
did a lot of the things that he talked about come to be?
Absolutely.
Hmm. Harry, I'm going to have to get that book.
Me
you
too.
Know, it's interesting. We both are kind of into that kind of thing.
Right.
Neither of us have heard of it.
And a lot of things that were predicted are inevitable to be predicted. But basically, the man fell asleep in the bottom of his house under hypnosis. And when they're digging up 100 years later, he wakes up into the 20th century.
Uh-huh.
21st century. And with that, seeing a doctor that owned the new house that they're building, he was the only historian that actually lived through the Boston era.
Through which, I'm sorry, we couldn't hear, what era? I didn't hear the word
in
before.
Boston. He was a living historian.
Uh-huh.
And then they tried to introduce him and explain what the future, you know, what he's walking into.
Uh-huh.
So he had a really good life explaining what really happened. Firsthand.
And did you? This is the character in the book?
Yes. Very few people in it.
Very interesting. That sounds like a book we're going to have to get.
Yes.
Well, I'm really glad you talked about it. Now this obviously, at 12, is a very impressional age. I remember
right.
when I was young, I read a book called Cosmic Consciousness at the age of 12.
Ah.
And it was a very life-changing book for me that changed the way I thought about things. And obviously, this changed the way you thought. How did it change your life?
Well, I tried to look into the future and have helped a lot of people with that. But Murray's ideas are excellent. And they're in the same line as Bellamy, of a better world for everybody. And I believe, you know, all the other utopian worlds that failed,
mm-hmm.
failed because of the rotten apples in the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
take a lot.
The ones that didn't want to work, right, Mark?
Yeah. No, it doesn't take a lot. And it's always something that is going to have to be faced. How did, in the book, if I can just ask a little further, for those who may not be able to get the book or don't remember, how does he work out the fact that there are those, what you call rotten apples?
You'd have to read the book.
Okay.
But believe me, selling 600,000 copies back when it was released is almost as much as the Bible sold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people wanted a utopia, because things were pretty bad.
Mm, yeah, well, they always, at some point when we become aware of what's really going on, or you have a different view of the whole world, there's always a chance to think that things are pretty bad. I mean, if you were going to Haiti right now and born in Haiti, you might think the same thing, right?
Yeah, they're still having problems to this day.
Yeah. Well, Franklin, what a very interesting phone call. I don't think we've had you call in before, so we really appreciate you calling. Did you leave your number with Gary? So, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll leave it
okay.
with Gary.
Just
great.
Hold on the line. Thanks
yeah.
so much for
yeah,
the call,
hold on
Franklin.
Yeah, hold
Thank
on
you.
The line, and Gary will get your information. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to get that book.
Well, it's really interesting, the whole idea of looking back. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, or certainly other people, women only had the right to vote in the United States
yeah.
for 100 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
we're not talking about
well,
1,000 years.
Well, look at now in their Arab countries.
Oh, they still
yeah,
don't.
In Syria.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when are they in Arabia and in Syria ever going to have a chance to really have the women, even just driving?
Right.
Women can't even drive. And
exactly.
You know, and girls can't go to school.
And you know that they get stoned for suspected adultery. With
oh,
no,
it,
with
it,
no
if they get raped, they're at fault. They're
yeah,
considered
yeah.
to be, yeah. yeah.
That's why I try to really focus on Maui, because the rest
yeah.
of the world is still not where even the Western world
yeah.
is, the first world.
But you see, what happens is, you know, as much as, and my belief is, okay, it's wonderful that we can be in a certain place, but unless we actually can have a worldwide consciousness on this, there are going to be times there are people who hate our views and hate your views.
Absolutely.
And hate me saying that women should not only be able to drive, but they should be able to wear anything they want. And
right.
They should have not only a right to vote, but they should be able to run businesses. And
mm-hmm.
anything we take for granted, they would consider sacrilegious.
Correct.
And you know, those people with those beliefs are actually going up against us, and this is where a lot of the conflict that happens. I mean, we're looking at, you know, we went into the Ukraine situation before, but you can't isolate one island. no man is an island, as was
well,
said.
Well, I have a theory here, and again, mm-hmm. it's just a theory because it hasn't been proven yet. Mm-hmm. But what I learned from my business consulting that I've done for 25 years mm-hmm. is that you create a prototype, and mm-hmm. then you can spread it to the rest of the company. Mm-hmm. Once you have a successful prototype and it's mm-hmm. been shown to work, and you figure out the details of what make it work, then it gets easier.
Okay, you're in a company, and I'd like to really put this to work in my life, but in a company, you have a boss who's in control. It's not even a democracy.
But
it's a boss in control.
Cindy, the interesting thing is often it was a renegade leader, project leader, uh-huh. who was believed in what I was teaching, uh-huh. and he spread it to his project, uh-huh. and then they had to convince the bigger bosses.
And so was that hard for them to do?
In varying degrees. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, there's the whole methodology to how to do that. I mean, you typically find a good boss, you know, who's
Steve Jobs and many others really, you know, at that time, even Bill Gates, I mean, were renegade. I mean, they started out as renegades,
right.
and that's where they were able to create, and, you know, the computers that we know today, of course, based out of a few people's imagination, with
right.
the help of other people.
Absolutely.
Who, you know, Wozniak and others, who never get as much credit, of course, trying to offer their things. But many times the people who offer don't either get heard or don't get a chance and are considered renegades, or are considered in society like
Steve
crazy.
Steve Jobs actually came over and bought one of the machines we had built before I was at the company, actually, mm-hmm. back in the...
Mountain Computer?
Yeah.
And it was prototype?
To duplicate floppy disks.
Really?
That was one of our products.
A long time ago, floppy
disks. It was,
disks.
I know.
What a concept.
Amazing, I know. Things change pretty quickly, huh?
I thought it was a place you put your coffee cup the first time I saw that thing, but what's that thing for? That's a coffee cup holder, right? You put your coffee in that thing that extends. What a great idea. But the renegade people, I mean, well, okay, Galileo. I mean, there are people who paid with their life for inspiration. There are many, even before Galileo won. I mean, these people, the first person who said that, even before Galileo, was tortured and killed, you know. So when you come up with ideas ahead of your time.
Yes.
And we could even go into religions. Even Muhammad and Christ and others were ahead of their time,
mm-hmm.
Considered prophets, you know, but had to pay heavy prices for their beliefs. So if you come up with an idea, you have to be willing, I think, to pay a heavy price.
Well, a heavy price, yes, but hopefully not with one's life.
Like, yes.
I'm hoping, and I have, I guess, an inner knowing that I will not have to pay for the
yes.
idea of my utopian. Again, it's not really my idea. Mm-hmm. Utopian societies have...
But there are people that say you're crazy with this idea.
It's of course.
It's a stupid idea, right? There's people
who
say,
absolutely.
There's no way.
Right.
Or either. And I have to say, I was one going, oh my gosh, it should be Aloha-topia because there's so many people that think, well, you know, this just can't happen, you know?
And I think, thank you for bringing up Aloha, because I think that's one of the reasons it can happen here on Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably won't, it's not as likely to happen in a city in California with 100,000 people.
Or even Oahu, necessarily.
Even, yes, in fact, I was thinking at the time of doing Oahutopia,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's too big of a prototype. Again, this mm-hmm. comes from my methodology. I mean, they've got 1 million people over there. We have 150,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So 150,000 is a much better size. And again, I think it's the right size. But again, it's never been done.
Well, and I'll be interested to read this book by Bellamy. And by the way, you can call in 242-7800. Ori's been very gracious to offer to pay to take you to lunch any restaurant on Maui, besides Hana, of your choice. And this is the last show. So don't miss this opportunity, because you're not going to get a free lunch any other place right now that I can think of your choice, at least. So please, if you have any big dreams, comments, or things. But of course, this whole thing I've thought of so much since you began, Ori, because it's made me think a lot. You brought up some great points over the last weeks. And one point that I've always said is, like, I think we're here on Earth because we have to deal with the dark and the light, the bad and the good.
Mm-hmm.
We have these two things, because otherwise, if it was all good, I don't know. I mean, I've really thought of this planet as a grand experiment.
We have to learn from the contrast.
And that we're here to be able to bring spirit into man, or that mm-hmm. part of us that's the animal part versus the spirit
right.
part, combining to be a new kind of man, a
right.
new human, you know, you being that spirit with man. And so humans are, you know, have come a long way, but it does take time. It takes
mm-hmm.
a lot of time. We have come a long way. And who knows, look at the last 100 years, and who knows? I'm trying to imagine what it would be like in 100 years, thinking of the Bellamy book. I mean, can you imagine what it's going to be like in 100 years?
No. And particularly in the next 100 years. Yeah. I mean, look at the last 100 years.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have guessed, again, if you were a woman 100 years ago, would you have guessed that you'd have the right to vote? No, again.
No,
but
driving
that happened.
Cars, we wouldn't have known
and
about traveling,
it's amazing
businesses.
To me that blacks had to sit in the back of
yeah.
the buses in the 1960s
yeah.
when I was born.
Yeah.
But that was what it was.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, trying to imagine 100 years in the future. I mean, even here on Maui. I mean, there's so many signs that the country, the whole world is having so many threats to it. With the weather threats, you know.
The only thing that came close, you know, I don't know if you saw the movie Elysium.
Elysium, yes.
Elysium, yeah, it was
yes,
fantastic.
Yes, I did see it.
And I thought
I did
that
find
was a
it
great
interesting. Yeah.
Idea of what a utopian society would look like.
Yeah.
You know, if you have multiple sclerosis, they just put you through a scanner and you're healed.
Yeah, yeah. And but then look what they had to do. If you've seen that movie, you know what we're talking about. You had to fight and kill because there were people that wanted to go to Elysium.
To Elysium.
And
yeah.
they only had it for a select society.
Right.
Now, what if that select society was Mauitopia trying to use it for their society and others outside wanted to take something they created? I mean, you always will have
Unfortunately,
that.
There will always be the struggle between...
There will.
Yeah.
There will always... And I think the good news about that is hopefully it brings out the better part of us to come up with solutions to work some way, working together for peace. I mean, well, how long has this world been trying to work for peace? I mean, how long have we been trying to work for peace? And what does it take to get to that point of peace? And we all know peace begins within, but we've got a long way to bring that peace within without as well.
Yeah, and like I said, on the one hand, the good news is 1 billion out of the 7 billion people on Earth, we don't have physical wars anymore, which for thousands
Tell
of years...
Tell people in Syria that, right?
Well, no, I know. I'm well aware, and I grew up part of the time in Israel, so they're very aware of having physical
Tell the people in
wars.
Africa that.
But there's part of the 6 billion who do have wars still. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bad thing, but hopefully they will come along.
Yeah.
And again,
they're building up the troops now in the border of Crimea and Ukraine, and then maybe in the next couple of weeks that could even happen. So I don't know. It's just this conflict that is always there, and there's always the dream for peace. Every Christmas card, how many Christmas cards of peace on earth, and how many times of those, you know. So, but because we have all this, we have to do to try to make the world a better place. Part of us wants to do stuff to make the world a better place and to have a bigger dream to make that happen. And you're concept, bigger dreams, is like, well, you know, I mean, if we had a perfect society, would you be dreaming as big? What do you think? Would you be dreaming as big if the society was perfect?
Oh, well, okay, so if you imagine you lived in Elysium, what would your dreams be? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but that's worth thinking about, right?
Yes.
Because having
point.
A bigger dream, all those dreams you mentioned was overcoming some problem,
some
major
right.
problems.
Right.
And so these
like you had the women's rights movement or the civil rights movement, right?
The Cold War to get the up to space
right.
and to deal with all the challenges and the deaths that happened with the people being shot up into space.
So what you're really saying, which is a valid question, is do we need some amount of struggle or conflict in order to come up with these big dreams?
I mean, we are co-creators with God, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We're given the gift of creation. We are created, but we're also given the gift to be able to create.
Mm-hmm.
But what would we really create, and would we be able to create? I mean, if God indeed created man, there's all these problems that came too, right? So how do we create better than that?
And let me just interject for a second, a personal belief, mm-hmm. because... And maybe part of this is being Jewish, too, because a lot of my family did not survive World War II and mm-hmm. the Holocaust and the Nazis. And yet, the Jews are still in existence in the world. The Nazis' goal was
yes.
to pretty much wipe them off
yes.
the face of the earth. And yet today, actually, there are 18 million Jews on earth, which is what there was before World War II. So somehow it has continued to move forward, not only, say, Jews, but also humanity as a whole has, in fact, continued to evolve and to progress to a better place.
Well, I believe it was Mahatma Gandhi who said, one of my biggest consolations is knowing that throughout all of the history of mankind, good has always won out over evil.
Yes.
And that is a consolation. But if you're always just thinking, oh, it's going to be okay.
You cannot do anything.
Right.
No, you know, Elie Wiesel, the World War II guy who studied a lot of it, said all it takes for evil to triumph is for a few good people to do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's really true.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember what it is.
Oh, okay.
I have another thought.
Well,
but
it's time for someone to call in 242-7800. We'd love to hear your big dream. What big dreams would you have, and what big dreams can you see that would make a huge difference in humankind? Aloha.
Oh,
we may have left them on the phone. You can call back. The lines are open now at 242-7800. I'm sorry. You get me talking, and you know, Ori, I can talk. I'm sorry. I tend to talk too much. 242-7800 is the number, and Ori will pick someone who's called in, take them to lunch, anywhere, at their choice, here on Maui, but not in Hana. and just to share your ideas for what you think is a big dream that you'd like to see. And you know what? Imagination is part of this big dream. If we can actually think and imagine something that will help our world and our society, whether it be coming up with a cure for multiple sclerosis, mm-hmm. or trying to come up with a cure for AIDS, or coming up with a cure for Alzheimer's. I'd love to see a cure for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that there are people that we never even see working diligently every day, working on trying to come up with cures for these diseases, you know. And then there's the diseases of our mind. You know, I mean, the things that we have that take away that aloha spirit, you know, which we all can work on, you know, every day, whether it be just practicing aloha, mm-hmm. right, or any other thing. Those just trying to practice aloha, to me, is a big dream.
I agree, and we can all do that every day, every few minutes a day. In fact, I was in the book Creating Mauitopia, Making Maui a Real Paradise. I suggest in the book to have everybody do at least a couple acts of random acts of kindness, or practicing aloha on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And even I do that. I mean, you walk by a parking meter and you throw in a quarter.
Yes, that was a big debate even doing. Remember how that came up? Someone said, no, you can't do that. And we found out you indeed can do that.
You can do that.
And I just gave a talk at Rotary about what takes away from the aloha. Because I actually made a list of things that can distract us from aloha. One was rushing.
Uh-huh.
You've seen what happens when you rush.
Absolutely.
It's like you don't want to let that person in front of you because you're in a hurry and that
right.
person cannot get in front
right.
of you.
And I'm so annoyed with so many of the drivers now, unfortunately. You wait at a traffic light and before it turns green and a second later, somebody's honking at you.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's
rushing is, when you're in a rush, when you're in a hurry, it's very hard to be in the aloha spirit, the presence.
Yes.
The presence, part of the word aloha that most people aren't aware of is A-L-O, can mean the real presence, your presence. Also means your true face, your authentic face. So it means taking off your mask and allowing yourself to be vulnerable and real. Another thing that I mentioned that can take away is distractions.
Mm.
We're not present when we're distracted, and more if you're texting or doing other things when you're at lunch, and you're not really with that person 100% if you're looking away and thinking of something else. Or even when you distract yourself from writing that book because you really want to write that book, but you'll find a million distractions to keep you from really writing that. You know how it is when you want something important to do and you wait till the last minute to do it. And another thing I mentioned that is keeping us, that will keep away the presence of aloha is worry. Mm. When we're worried, you know, we actually are creating what we worry about by our thoughts because our thoughts are so powerful. So, you know, worrying is really hard to have the aloha spirit live when you're really worried.
So being a professional worrier, I've kind of seen the benefit of it, you know, having been an engineering project leader or project manager, and there's, you know, I have 20, 30 people working for me, mm-hmm. and I worry about everything, about the fact that every one of those people does every one of their engineering tasks and does it right.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, so for example, one of my techniques may have been called MBWA, management by walking around, and with, you know, like I said, 30 people working for you, you can't ask every one of those people everything they're doing, mm-hmm. but you walk around randomly and ask them, what about this and that?
Mm.
Okay. And then you'll start a discussion. Hopefully you'll get a good answer. But how do you differentiate between that's worrying, what that's I would consider a healthy worrying, versus somebody just saying, hey, just don't worry about it, it's going to be fine. and there's lots of that on Maui.
Worrying is about something you can't change, maybe I should say. Because, I mean, there's times you worry about the flight maybe being late, or you worry about maybe some accident will happen. You worry about some bad encounter, or you put energy about something that happened that was negative in your life, and you start worrying about what will happen. Worry is, I mean, I love the Bobby McFerrin song, which is based on Meher Baba, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Mm-hmm. If you're happy, it doesn't mean you can't plan and you can't manage. To me, you can still manage. You can be organized. You can go down your list and take care of those things and walk around and do them. You can certainly make a list and just say, okay, this is my goals. This is what I'm going to do. But if you worry, oh, my God, I can't do that. It's not going to happen. This is something bad.
That's almost negative.
The negative, yeah. Is what I associate with worry versus actually planning and organizing and putting positive energy, going, gosh, this is what I want to do today. This is what I'm going to do. I am going to do these things, and it's going to really be good, and we're going to work that out. This is my goal.
I like that distinction as far as worrying is negative, but planning or, you know, like, for example, being at the airport 2 hours before the flight
mm-hmm.
versus, again, I have friends that are like, hey, don't worry about it, and they run to catch the plane before the doors close.
Mm-hmm.
And they have missed flights. I've never, in 1.2 million miles of flying, I've never missed a flight.
That's pretty amazing.
Thank
That's
you.
That's pretty good.
Now, I have sat a lot of hours at the airports all over the world.
Yes, because you're early. But it's better to be early. For me, I hate being late. So
exactly.
I always just resolve it because I know if I'm late and I'm rushing, I get completely stressed out.
Exactly.
And so I don't want to be stressed out, so I usually show up early. I almost always show up early just so I won't have to be stressed out.
Right.
You know, I'd rather have time and just use that time to relax and be present, you know. And that is planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of planning. You plan to be early, you know.
Wise planning.
Wise planning, right?
Yes.
And you know, about the world, again, don't worry, be happy. Well, you know, it doesn't mean you're not doing positive things. It means you're in the moment and you're taking care of what you can take care of in this now moment as consciously present in your presence of your breath and your spirit as possible. And if you're really present in the moment, a lot of things will work out in that moment.
Well, I hate to bring it back to global
yes.
issues, but can we say, oh, don't worry about the extreme Islamic people who say that we're all infidels and should be killed or converted to Islam, and don't worry about those people.
No, there's issues. You really should make a list. Okay, so you can read about it, right? And you can say, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And you can be informed with the news. If you can't really change that, I mean, if you can't really change that situation, you know, worrying about it really isn't going to change it. You're worrying about whether there's going to be a terrorist attack here on Maui or a terrorist attack on your trip or if your plane's going to blow up. And
you know, Sydney, one of the things that I've become a big fan of, I think I may have mentioned before, PRI, Probability Risk Index.
I like that.
So
Probability Risk Index.
What are the chances if you get on an airplane today mm-hmm. and fly to California, what are the odds that you will die?
Very, very, very low. Less than a car accident.
You're exactly correct, because mm-hmm. if you step out the car, the building here,
mm-hmm.
chances are higher that you will get killed walking across the street.
Or have an accident driving,
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, again, and that's why the PRI, even skydiving, mm-hmm. you know, is relatively safe.
Yeah. It's just a matter
of... Even though it's scary.
It's your fear. Well, it's the fear versus, you know, your fear actually dictates a lot of what people do, you know, mm-hmm. or don't do because of fear, you know. So, I mean, for me, skydiving ain't going to happen in the near future.
And, Cindy, that's one of the things I will not do in this lifetime.
Because I would be so stressed and worried when I got up there. And I know myself enough going, I'm not going to, you know, if I had to prove a point or I had to do it. Yes, if there was something I had to do because it had a reason. But to do it, my sister did. My sister did professional skydiving. She actually did this, you know, and she went down in a submarine, one of the first people to go down. She was the first woman to go down where the Titanic was because she
wow.
had a guy who worked in that discovered all that stuff and worked with James Cameron and on the Titanic and everything. But so she was that kind of person, you know, where, you know, she was going to prove herself by doing that. And again, being a woman. Do we have a call? Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, who's this?
This is Robin.
Hi, Robin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I've been listening to you guys. It's been beautiful. Thank you
Thank
so much
you.
For your conversation. The
Thanks,
nature
Robin.
Of it. It's great.
Thank you. What do you have to say today?
Well, I hear a lot of acronyms happening on the show, and I have one that really is very helpful. We've heard the thought, let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
The acronym for let is living effortless trust.
Oh, that's beautiful. Living effortless trust. Yeah, that is beautiful. Living, I'm going to remember that one. Living.
I wrote it down.
If I had my phone, I would type it in my phone right now. Living effortless trust. Yeah, living and that trust is a key factor. And, Robin, I think a lot of people don't have that trust.
Well, that's kind of understandable. We've grown up in a culture that has focused pretty much on the outside. And, trust really comes from guidance. And if it's always outer focus, that it's a difficult thing to maintain.
Yeah, I remember I was a teenager, and I was Alan Watts was talking in Los Angeles, and I was in a hurry, but I had to stop and get gas. And this was in the days where they actually remember the days when they actually cleaned your window, window.
Yeah.
And he was cleaning it, and he was cleaning, and I was getting a little annoyed because he was taking so long. And I finally just went, okay, look at he's doing this amazing job cleaning this window. And I had to appreciate it, so I kind of just went, okay, I'm fine. And I kind of just let go and, let it be. And then Alan Watts, of course, was one of the people that I first heard ever say, let go and let God. And of course, that gas station attendant was just letting go and letting God and being present and doing the best he could do to clean my window, whether I liked it or not.
One of the other things, though, I've also focused on is an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Rather than feeling impatient and saying, this guy's taking forever to wash the windshield, right? Just say, wow, look at what a thorough job this guy is doing.
He was. He was totally into getting every single, I've never had anyone spend so much time cleaning my windshield. Of course, now I have never had hardly anyone cleaning my windshield.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, that was a lesson of sorts to me, and I have always remembered that. And I try to remember that, because if you do really believe that you can let go and you have that trust, you'll find, time after time I've found in my life when I can remember that it really is always okay. If I look
right,
back.
And it really is this present moment,
mm-hmm.
It's like, what we're letting is this moment, this moment to unfold, which is just full of vibrancy if we're open to it.
Well, that's the presence. That presence of the very moment of now and the breath in this very moment of now has miracles. I mean, every breath in a way, if we really were to take a moment to realize that every breath is a miracle.
It's the only thing that really exists is the now.
Yeah, when you get down to your last breath, you realize how precious that breath that we've not even been conscious of every day. How many breaths do we take then? But you're down to the last few. You recognize how those last breaths are so important, right?
I remember when I was a teenager, I asked my mother once if she believed in miracles. And all she said to me was, go down to the OB ward at the hospital.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And see the new babies coming in.
Mm. Yes. So true. So no, it's really true. I mean, a baby being born is just like, I'm just getting chicken skin even thinking about the miracle of birth, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a human birth. We look at the miracle of that. Did you see that little baby gorilla that got born and they it was a cesarean?
Yeah.
And this little beautiful gorilla, they saved his life by having a cesarean. They took it to the hospital and they bottle fed it and took it care, and then they brought this little gorilla and they burped it and brought it to it where it's safe enough, and then returned it to its gorilla mother. And again, that same miracle of seeing that baby gorilla joined with its mother and its life saved. Another miracle.
Yes, and I'm a big believer in science, obviously. But at the same time, I'm also a big believer in God or a higher power or whatever you want to call it, because science has not been able to create a human life. So when we're talking about those babies that are born, which is an amazing thing, it's a miracle.
It is.
I mean, science cannot duplicate that.
Now, we're trying to duplicate that with our genes and with what's going to be happening with the recreation of cells and how we create in the future. That
but
may be something in 100, but in 100 years,
they
I
might
think,
be able to do that. Yes.
I think in 100 years they will, and that will be interesting to
right.
see what happens when we clone, because we already can clone sheep, and I think you almost are at the point where you can clone a human being, and that
close.
That I think will happen in the next 100 years.
Maybe.
And so then, and then they're also picking genes that you can pick what qualities you want for your baby right now. So, I mean, it's possible right now to pick what, then we are playing God to a degree, right? I mean, I want my baby. I'm sorry, Robin, what?
I was going to say, and then there's going to be some amazing things happen this afternoon.
Like what?
Well, we'll have to see.
Okay.
To be revealed.
To be revealed. Well, that's true. I mean, when I walk in EL, most afternoons I go up and walk there, and it's never the same twice. I mean, yesterday the water was just rushing, and it was beautiful, and sometimes the trail changes because of the changes in the water, and it's always, I mean, it's never the same. Every sunset and every sunrise is.
Yeah, I call it the new more.
New more. The new more, I like that. Yeah, new more. Yeah. And it is. And Robin, I mean, I thank you because I think what you said is very true, and thank you for sharing that wisdom with us today, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Aloha.
Stay on the line so Gary can get your phone number.
Yeah, stay on the line, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Robin.
Thanks so much, Robin.
I think we have someone else on the line?
No.
No, okay. I thought someone else was on the line there. Gary has this way. He pushes buttons with sticks, and I saw a stick being pushed. This is the way we train our brain. A stick was being pushed over here, and I thought it meant another phone call. But the line is almost open right now.
It is open for a few more minutes.
Well, no, it's actually he's taking
Gary's still on the phone,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So
in a minute.
But, yeah, in a minute.
Call.
You can call it.
He's off now.
Yeah, you can call it. If you want your last chance to talk, because the show's, this is the last show of Mauitopia for now.
Although there will be Mauitopia Minutes.
Yes,
will
there
be
will
running.
Be that Ori's creating Mauitopia Minutes, which will be airing on actually different stations. We have five stations here, so people will be able to hear that Mauitopia message. And, you know, you've opened my mind to a lot of ideas, Ori, and I do appreciate that. And I started, you kind of converted me. I have to say in the beginning, I went, yeah, nice idea, but you know, I've appreciated the way you brought up many of these subjects that are of great import. That are very
Thank
important
you.
For us to stop and reflect on, you know. Again, the number, I didn't know if I gave it out, 242-7800 is the number. You only have 5 minutes, so I know how it is. Sometimes I'm going to call and I wait to the last minute, so consider this your last minute. 242-7800 if you want to call in.
It's not just the last minute, it's the last minute
of the
last show,
show
20
yeah.
shows.
Yeah, and
so
also a chance to
chime in on something on Mauitopia.
Any big dream, any thoughts?
Any big dream,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, any big dream for the world. I mean, there's a lot of things in the world that need to be addressed, and there's always going to be those people who will address them. And I have to say, being in the music business, I've been in the music business all my life, and being in radio and also having a couple CDs out, I think musicians have really stepped up to the plate to help humanitarian causes.
Mm-hmm.
And actors, when I look at what Sean Penn did in Haiti and others, and what Bono's done, and, you know, for Africa, and even, you know, some of the people that have helped who are, you know, even Brad Pitt in New Orleans.
Do Go ahead,
call? Aloha, you're on the air. I'm glad you made it under the wire for the last call of the show. Who is this?
This is Rock calling from Haiku.
Hi, Rock. How's it looking Haiku today? Is it beautiful?
Well, it's a bit of a switch. It was sunny when I left Haiku. Now, driving through Makawa on my way up to Kula, it's starting to be overcast and some sprinkles. Usually, it's the other way around.
Well, you know, one thing with all this rain, I'll tell you, they were having a hard time in Ulupalakoa with their ranch. They actually had to sell off a lot of their herd because they were in a drought that was wow. the worst drought they'd seen for the last few years. So this year, finally, whenever it's raining, I think, gosh, they're so lucky up in Ulupalakoa. They needed this rain, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Haiku Sunny is one of the most beautiful places in the world, right?
Absolutely.
So what did you want to share with us today, Rock?
I have a vision of starting a organization on Maui for disadvantaged youth to get them exposed to motorcycling. Mm.
Interesting idea. Interesting idea. Now, why would you combine the two? Now, we know the need of helping disadvantaged youths. What would you see that they would gain in motorcycling?
Motorcycling has been such a constant in my life that kept me on the straight and narrow in high school. Mm-hmm. And I'm 57. I'm still involved. You know, it's such a family sport. And John DeSoto, who has been a councilman over on Oahu, he has set up a similar program. And, you know, any of us old guys that race and ride motorcycles, we can all talk about, you know, the core principles that are involved. That, you know, it's a family sport, and it builds, it can build lifelong relationships.
Rock, do you mind me asking if you wear a helmet when you ride?
Absolutely. Well, I don't ride on the street, but when I do, I absolutely wear a helmet.
Good.
So you do dirt biking?
Yes, motocross.
Oh, and so that's what you're thinking of for the youth?
Well, no, you know, anything to whether it's taking them to the local motocross track to have them watching, or exposing them to the guys over at Maui Dual Sports, just ideally you'd have them riding, but with some of the insurance regulations, to me that's like further down the road. I would just like to acquaint them to, you know, to the sport.
So does that track there, is that the one that's out there, the old airport, that one that's off Mokulele Highway, is that the track you're talking about?
Yes, right there by the armory.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. I love it.
Because I can see there's a lot of bonding that really happens, and it's fun for them. It's not like you're going to force them to do it. They're going to really enjoy doing it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's something they can get excited about. And there's a bonding. What is that bonding, that brotherhood thing with motorcycling?
It's just something that transcends all economic, you know, brackets and all genders and nationalities. It's indescribable. You know, you either get it or you don't. If you've done it, I just saw something recently that said I was sentenced to a lifetime behind bars. And then at the bottom of the picture said, the first time I rode a motorcycle.
Well, Rock, we're just about out of time, but I never, that's really outside the box. It's a fascinating idea. I never would have thought of that with youth, right? I mean, it's a great idea.
Perfect big dream.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you for sharing it, and you have a great day.
Stay on the line, Gary's going to get your phone number.
Gary's going to get your number. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy, and I'm going to issue my closing statement since we only have 2 minutes left in the show. I'm Ori Kopelman with my co-host Cindy Paulus as we dream big and create Mauitopia here on Maui.
And you'll get called. Ori has we have your number, and you'll get a call if you get that lunch with anywhere you want here on Maui besides Hana. Well, I'd have to say it's been a real treat and a real pleasure, and until we meet again, dream big.
Thank you for all your help, Cindy.
And happy Mauitopia.
Yes, and we will have the Mauitopia Minutes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was drawn to a place in the sun where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui Man, where the upcountry slides to the sea and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies. Under stars at night he touched my hand, Maui Man, Maui Man, feel the rain, Maui Man. He's a boy with a surfboard, the right wave coming somewhere out there. Balancing, dancing, precision on the crest of a swell.
Today's Island News headlines, I'm Gary Horsberg from the Visionary Radio News Center. The Budget and Finance Committee will hold evening meetings throughout the county in April to receive community input on the fiscal year 2015 budget. The first meeting is slated for April 2nd at the Hannibal Tavares Community Center.